I have done many things that I should not have done, and now am I afraid of the punishment. Then this friendly being spoke to me and said, You don't need to be afraid. Do you want me to take care of you? And I answered, Yes, please, yes, yes, take care of me. Then this being went with me very close to this bridge. There were all kinds of beings standing there, very nicely dressed, of a noble nature. The friendly being then went up to one of these nobles and said, I am bringing you a poor soul. She is simply not capable of getting to know the new world, she cannot fit into this new world. Don't you want to help her? You know, she is afraid of the punishment. If you explain to her that it will not be so bad, she will definitely obey you. Please take her in. And then this friendly being disappeared into the crowd, and I stood there in front of this beautifully dressed, sublime spirit. Then he said to me, Are you really serious? Do you want to finally join in the order? Don't you see that you don't really belong here? You are still wearing your ragged clothes, like you wore as a human being, they cling to you in spirit. Don't you want to take them off? It is probably high time to do so. I said, Oh yes, I would like to, and I would certainly be grateful if you could get me something else. Good, he said, come with me, and then this beautiful being took me by the hand, and I was amazed, it had not moved away from me, this beautiful being was not afraid to walk beside me, even though I was still wearing these rags. It didn't go far and led me into a beautiful house, beautiful in my opinion. It was simple, only one floor high, and there was a garden with flowers in front of it. The beautiful being went with me inside and entered a room. It seemed very elegant to me, although it was very simply furnished. This beautiful being asked me to sit down, it was a nice place to sit, and for me at least it was nice. And then this being said to me, Wouldn't you like to rest a little first? We have a place to rest here, you could rest a little now, and I will stay with you until you have rested a little. Then I will bring you something to eat and drink, you always asked for it. Yes, because I was simply used to it, I said. I gained confidence in this being. It was so kind and helped me to lie down. It laid its hands very kindly on my forehead, and I took both of its hands full of emotion. And I think I cried, I don't remember exactly. I must have fallen asleep then. When I woke up again, this being was standing right in front of me, and the surroundings were the same. I had no idea how long I had slept, nor did I know the time. I was not interested in it either, neither in today. I was still thinking about tomorrow. Everything was always the same. But one thing struck me straight away, I felt much freer. And now I looked at myself, I had still retained the memory of what had happened before this sleep. Now I was no longer wearing my rags, I was wearing a simple but neat, clean garment, and I was also wearing shoes, I was wearing very simple sandals. But everything was neat and clean, nothing was ragged anymore and there were no holes anywhere. I stroked my hair and had the impression that I had been combed, I was completely neat. And suddenly I was satisfied with myself, a blissful feeling came over me. Now I no longer had to be ashamed, now I could fit in with the order. And the being was very friendly to me and gave me something to drink, it was so delicious, so fine, and it also gave me a kind of bread. I ate it, I drank the drink and felt strengthened. The being next to me smiled, and indeed it was satisfied. It was satisfied with the happiness that had suddenly come over me. But now this being said to me, you know, now we can talk, and I can also tell you why you had to go through life as a beggar in your last life. You know, you had a lot of guilt in a previous life on earth, in your soul, in your thoughts, there was so much arrogance, so much ambition, so much greed. You burdened yourself in so many ways in your penultimate life that we had to tear these feelings out of your soul. And this being explained to me, you know, one goes through many earthly lives before one reaches the heights of the spirit. And since your thinking was so burdened and your soul was so permeated by base feelings, it had to be shaped in such a way that a great forgetfulness came over you, And this was only possible because we brought you into a new earthly life. In this new life you were now to experience the opposite, whereas previously you reveled in wealth and everything was at your feet, but you also schemed and harmed others, you did to faith, but it was not pleasing to God, you were now to forget everything in a new life. There was to be no memory of your previous life in you, and this was to be made possible by you being marked for a life of such poverty, so that your soul would be filled anew, with different thinking, so that you would be shaped completely differently inside. So you had to go without, you were humiliated. Your spirit could no longer recognize what it was in its previous life, what position it had occupied as a person. This had to be forgotten, an opportunity had to be created to start anew. So your soul, your thinking, had to be shaped differently. You had to endure many humiliations. We understand you and we do not want to judge you so harshly, because you had a difficult life but you had your own will. Now you know why you had to live such a life, but we will soon take away your memory of that life, because you should not believe that you will benefit from it and can live in your old memories. We want to help you. This is what they said to me. And it was like a light came over me, I felt strengthened and I realized that it was good for me. Because in this way all that could be forgotten, this arrogance, this greed. I no longer had any feelings of arrogance or greed, I was not ambitious either, I had actually become quite indifferent. Now, said this noble being, you must begin again, you have had a hard life behind you, great poverty. But in contrast to your earlier retreat into the spiritual world, when you rebelled so much because you did not like the surroundings and you oppressed the lives of others, it is different now. Life here, which is simple, has become beautiful for you. It is a simple world that you have entered, it is one of the stages of ascent that you can pass through. And we want to help you to start again. And the angel said to me, you should forget who you once were. You should also soon be able to forget that you lived as a beggar in extreme poverty, if you are now ready to obey, if you want to attend classes, if you want to start learning. Because you have to learn, you didn't go to school in the earthly world, you couldn't read or write. What do you think? You have to start again. But you will soon get back the knowledge that you once had. And the angel said to me, it is within our power to recall the memories of your previous lives when it makes sense. If you can bear witness to it, if you want to remember the lives you have lived, how you fared on earth and what effect the life you left behind has had on you, then we want to give you the strength to remember. But otherwise you no longer need to know who you were on earth. We want to give you the opportunity to start again. And I agreed, give me the opportunity to do so. I want to start again with great enthusiasm. I had to learn to pray, I had to learn the divine, spiritual laws, what God's will and law is, what to do and what not to do. And it took a long time. They promised to teach me. But before I was allowed to experience this instruction and this special sympathy, I had to go into a difficult purification. They created the opportunity for me, they took me to a place of solitude. Here I was supposed to think and I could think, and I had the experiences. I was supposed to strengthen my faith in God, I was supposed to be willing to obey, I was supposed to pray and I had already been taught this. It was only when I could pray that I was led into the difficulty. I do not know how long this difficulty lasted. I had no sense of time, for me it stood still. But this difficulty had nevertheless reached the depths of my soul. The great loneliness, being alone, talking and thinking alone, trying to strengthen one's faith and obedience. I had been talked into it in a good way beforehand, and I remembered that. And when I was then led out of this distress, I felt as if I had been born again, I felt purified in my thinking, strengthened in my will. And the angel told me, it was an angel who took care of me. Now we want to test you to see whether you are willing and strong enough to obey. I will now lead you to an ascending spirit brother who is doing his job. You are to be a servant to this ascending spirit brother and obey him. I did it, I liked being a servant. The purification had done me so much good, I had experienced so many good things in my new, divine world. No one had turned away from me when I arrived here in rags. No one had crossed themselves in front of me. I was taken in. I was taught that it was only a matter of wanting for myself. So I became an obedient, loyal servant, once a princess in this world, then a beggar in the next life, in order to forget, to lose everything to those arrogant feelings, in order to rebuild my soul. And in the divine world I started anew. My past was made to be forgotten, the strength to remember was taken away from me, and today I am an obedient servant in God's plan of salvation on the steps of ascent. Sometimes I let myself be placed here, sometimes there, to prove that I am loyal in obedience and faith in God and in all the saints in God's world. I have become an obedient servant. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried to put it before your eyes. I was given the strength to look back, but it will be taken away from me again. It is not necessary to know what one was. The past will be forgotten by an ascending spirit, because one does not want it to create an obstacle to its ascent. The world of God has the possibility of calling forth the power of memory when it makes sense, as has now happened with me. So I was chosen to speak to you, I have explained it to you. I have the opportunity to mingle with you, I have also become familiar with your lives, and I can say to you, think about it, reflect on what I have told you. It could be like this with one or the other, if he has fallen into some kind of vice in his life, or if he has devoted himself with all his strength to the transience of this earthly world in some area, and has not detached himself from the transience of this world, then the same thing could happen to him as happened to me. Perhaps not in such a drastic way, but one finds the balance to give the soul something with which it can start anew, to tear it out of its old memories so that it can start anew, with new thoughts and desires. And the heavenly beings are at your side, they are helpful. Therefore, remember the other world and live for the other world. Do not bind yourself too much to the transient, for the earthly world is transient after all. From time to time you will be shown very closely before your eyes what hardships and worries can suddenly overtake people. Strive for spiritual merits, bind yourself to the spiritual life, then your future will be well, for the future of the spiritual life as well as for a future human life. I am happy to go back to my own people, with whom I am now allowed to live together. I feel I am happy and blessed with them. I had to achieve this ascent and this well-being and happiness. So live well in spirit and soul, live well, contentedly and happily. I am told that the time has come and Brother Joseph does not want to get in touch again. So I leave you to God's blessing and protection. Greetings from God. Report of the ascending spirit being Anastasia by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quartington Stress, Zurich, original, tape recording, May 6, 1970. Innocently convicted of the consequences of a great injustice. After his earthly death, an innocently convicted person experiences God's compensatory justice in the world beyond. Joseph, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, it is I, your trusted friend, and I will speak to you. First, I would like to remind you of tomorrow, Ascension Day. It would please God if Christianity were aware of the significance of this memorial festival, if it were to grasp that past event in all its truth and magnitude. Then these Christians would also be more grateful. But consider the attitude that Christians have today towards this tomorrow's festival. They do not think about the truth content, the magnitude of what was shown to those people back then and what is still of great importance today. Ascension Day is accepted as an additional holiday and no one thinks about why this day has been made a holiday. The spiritually oriented person who believes in the Spirit knows what this day means for Christianity. The Christian is strengthened anew in his belief in the resurrection. For in the time from Easter to this hour when Christ ascended to heaven, his followers were able to experience again and again how he appeared here and there, and this is something that we should think about. Christ came to his followers and showed them that he is alive, that there is life after death. And so the Christian should know that he too is alive when he has died, that he will only give his body back to the earth. But in spirit he will rise again, as Christ rose again, And he will be lifted up from this earth by the angels of God. He will flee from this earth with the angels of God, towards the heights. But the relatives will not see this spirit that flees from the earth to the heights. But they should know that he will be released from the earth if it is his will not to return to this earth. That is, if he no longer feels bound in spirit to the past life, but becomes familiar with the new world and submits to the new laws, becomes obedient in the new homeland, in order to be a worthy and zealous servant there. These are a few introductory words that I wanted to give you for tomorrow. Well, dear brothers and sisters, you will soon understand that I have to tell you the following experience or these events myself. However, I would like to assume that everyone can understand what I have presented. Anyone who has questions should turn to those friends who know these spiritual laws and are familiar with this language. So I will now talk about a man who was sent to prison at the age of 35, innocent. He was accused of murder and remained in prison for 18 years until his death, innocent. He died of pulmonary tuberculosis. One morning he was found dead in his cell. At first this man had rebelled against people and against God, because he was innocent. He had been accused, but no matter how much he protested his innocence, no one believed him. For he had already made some mistakes in his life. For example, he drank and was not so strict about honesty. But now he had been accused of murder, and various people in his village also played a role in this. They had accused him because they firmly believed that it was him. There were various circumstances that made it plausible that he was the murderer. The real murderer, however, remained undiscovered. The murderer's wife knew about her husband's crime and kept quiet. This family had children, but the children found out nothing. They were not allowed to find out that their father was a murderer. But the whole thing weighed heavily on these two people. But they kept quiet about it their whole lives, even though they knew that one of them was innocently in prison. They pretended to be religious people. This is not an isolated case, it has happened many times. Now I would like to give you an insight into what happens in the spiritual world when someone returns who has been innocently in prison for so many years, and what happens to those who are really guilty and who pretend to be innocent in front of people. This innocent man was the first to come to the world on the other side. He returned to the otherworldly world, that is, he died before this married couple. When he opened his eyes in the spiritual world, he first had to look around to see if he had really died. For all he remembered was his miserable cell, and he still remembered that he had felt particularly sick. He knew about his illness. In the first period after his conviction, he had rebelled against people and against God, but over time he had become accustomed to his life in captivity and even began to pray. He had given up his hatred and tried to start a conversation with God by talking to him in silence and saying to him, "You must know who the real culprit is. It wasn't me." The angels of God had long known of his impending departure, and so they were ready and escaped with him from this cell into the otherworldly world. Here they stood opposite him, greeted him kindly and explained to him that his life on earth was now over. They greeted him with joy and told him to look around and see where he actually was. And he was amazed to see that he was in a spiritual room with large, open windows through which a lot of light came in. He was still lying on a couch and one of God's angels was sitting next to him. He was asked to look around further and take a closer look at the room. A few, but well-kept, pieces of furniture were naturally spiritual furniture and there were beautiful vases with flowers everywhere. He couldn't believe it and they said to him, "We have escaped from your world with you, we know the truth." The angels expressed their joy that he had come to terms with his fate as a human being and had stopped struggling. That would now benefit him. Now he should look at his surroundings. They asked him to come closer to this spiritual window and look out. Then he realized that it was spring where he was. He looked into the gardens and there were blossoming trees and flowers everywhere. "Is it true?" he asked himself. "I can't even remember what a flowering tree is and what a flower is. Now I can experience this. Is it reality?" He kept feeling around his spiritual body to see if it was really him and if he was still wearing his prison clothes. No. He wasn't wearing them anymore. He was wearing a light-colored robe and light shoes. And he was surprised at how he looked. Yes, he thought about the fact that his spiritual body looked similar to his earthly body. I have hands, I have a body. Yes, but everything was so delicate. And he felt much younger and well, whereas before he had always felt tired and oppressed and felt that his body was a burden. Now he felt light. He was further informed, you see, everything exists in its spiritual state. You are spirit and live as a spirit, and the spirit has the same form as a human being. Human beings are only wrapped in coarse matter, their spirit carries this coarse matter on itself, and it sometimes becomes a burden to them. Now you are free of this matter and you are no longer tired, you are no longer ill. These illnesses do not exist for the spirit. Only memories can oppress the spirit and give it the impression of feeling something heavy. And the angel continued, we have a surprise for you. The injustice that was done to you in your world, we want to make up for it, that is in the justice of God. And the fact that you have been given this privilege has happened through your will, because you had resigned yourself to your fate. And with this explanation a small spirit being, a spirit child, entered the room with a garland of flowers. It was accompanied by a beautifully dressed, delicate angel being. The garland seemed to be too big, too long and too heavy for the spirit child, because it was still dragging it along the spiritual ground. This flower garland was decorated with roses, tulips, carnations and all kinds of other flowers, and the spirit child itself wore a wreath of miller's flowers on its head. It appeared in a colorful, fragrant dress. At the angel's command, it took the garland, placed it around the neck of the returning child and said, as a greeting and for your joy, I am placing these flowers around your neck. And the angel of God who accompanied this child said, you have had much sorrow, we have seen it. We have tried to bear and share the suffering with you. We now want to make amends to you as much as we are allowed and able to do. And so you should rejoice in the justice of God. You should rejoice that you have risen in spirit and continue to live in a world of justice. Because in our world we can see everything that people do, just or unjust. We observe actions and capture them in the picture, and there is no denying it, for anyone. But then this child and his companion said goodbye, and he remained behind in the room with the other spirits of God. Now they said to him, we grant you some time to measure the heaven in its justice and beauty. But they explained to him, this is not the whole of heaven, but only a small section. You are now in the heaven of spring, that is where we have brought you, but you will not stay here forever. You should now enjoy yourself here in this heaven. And you should stay in this heaven, in this place, until the last person from your village who knew about your fate has returned. When the last person involved in your condemnation has passed over to the spiritual world, a spiritual court will be held. And of course, this also meant that they would wait until the guilty party had arrived. Then this court would be held. In the meantime, like all others who returned to the world beyond, he had to be taught. He had no knowledge of God's creation, of his plan of salvation and redemption, and so there was still a lot for him to learn. There are such places of instruction in all levels of ascension in heaven, including in the heaven of spring and up to those heights where it is necessary to teach those who ascend. Now he could measure this atmosphere of peace and justice. Great goodwill was shown to him, for love was foreign to him, he only knew accusations and malice. It took a lot for him to get used to this new environment, to this atmosphere, because he himself was not used to these subtle feelings. So he had to be taught in this respect too. But since he was able to experience so much pleasantness, so much kindness, he quickly forgot what he had experienced in his dark hours. And he said to himself, actually, I have no hatred for the real murderer. Because I was innocently imprisoned for so long and had to endure so much humiliation and injustice, I have earned heaven. The earthly world in which I lived was something lost to me, I had lost the world, but I had won heaven. And so he could have no hatred for the real murderer either. Because he had already given up hatred during his lifetime, he had resigned himself to his fate. Of course, His physical suffering also contributed a lot to this. He no longer had the strength to nurture such resentful thoughts. He was physically weakened, and this weakness took away his strength to develop and develop thoughts of hatred. He had to deal with himself and his suffering. So he was quite happy in his new world, because he had now gained a beautiful world. He was happy, felt light and happy. He was no longer in pain and was very happy about that. He therefore understood it more quickly when he was told about the resurrection of the spirit, because he was now able to experience this resurrection himself. But now we would also like to talk about the others. Because he was told that a judgment would take place when the last person who had been involved in his fate in some way had returned. When the last person and the murderer had passed on to the world beyond, they were all led to an intermediate heaven. One could also say, to an intermediate level or an intermediate sphere. This is a connecting place between the heights and the depths, where beings from different levels can be led. Those from the higher level must descend, that is easy, but those who are spiritually lower are also given the opportunity to enter this intermediate level to meet the others there. You should not think that the real murderer was the last to return. No, he was received beforehand and taken to an appropriate place. He was also told that the court would come when the last person from the village who had been involved in the fate of this innocently convicted man had crossed over. So they were all brought together. Those from the higher levels descended, and those from the depths were allowed to enter this intermediate level. This is where the court took place, and this is where they saw the innocent man enter this heaven. He was the last to enter, and here he was crowned with a garland of flowers. Apart from the real murderer and his wife, none of those who were called to this court knew who the real culprit was. They had been kept in the dark until this court, which was now to take place in the spiritual realm. When the innocent man entered last, wearing a light robe and a flower wreath, there was amazement. Most of those there thought he was a murderer. He came accompanied by angels of God who led him by the arm, and he was surrounded with the greatest kindness and love. It became immediately clear to them, something is not right here, a murderer can never appear with such an accompaniment. He was also given a special place in the small group of angels of God who were now to hold court. A very stern angel of God then spoke and said, "Now we hold court and justice, and we accuse of murder," and called the person who had committed the murder by name. So he had to step forward. And everyone was amazed. His former partner also had to step forward. The former victim also had to step forward, because she was there too. Now everyone else had become uncertain, and a great unease came over them. Those who had accused and given false testimony and those who had judged became restless. But the Spirit of God said, "Now you shall see the true course of events, what really happened back then," and they all experienced it as if in a film. Because what happens here on earth, no matter where and at what time, is captured in the mind as in a film. And so time was turned back for those present and they could experience the whole event in its reality. Then the Spirit of God said, "So you have condemned an innocent man, and the murderer lived among you." And now the Spirit of God, who ruled as a judge, asked, "What should happen to him? How should we punish him? What punishment should he receive for the murder and what punishment for his cowardice? For not turning himself in. What punishment does his wife deserve, who knew about it and kept quiet, who was involved in this great guilt? How should we judge?" Well, the real murderer was deeply depressed, he could not speak, nor could his former wife. No one wanted to speak, for now it was God's judgment. And there were those men who had once condemned this innocent man, there were the people who once said that only he could have done it and no one else. And the Spirit of God asked, "And what punishment do you deserve?" They could not speak, for they were all involved. But then one of them said, "We have been washed clean from sin by Christ's blood. He has freed us from this and from every sin. We rely on this redemption of Christ, he has brought it to us, and we are entitled to it. If we have acted wrongly in life, Christ has freed and redeemed us from all sins," said one who was particularly pious in life. But the angel of God had to answer him, "That is not true. No one is redeemed from the sins that he commits as a human being in his daily life. He himself is responsible for that. He is redeemed and freed from the great sin that is called the mortal sin, from the guilt of apostasy from God.